Was Donald Trump convicted of insurrection in Colorado? I was unaware of that. I follow the news pretty closely. I didn't hear that. Did you, Lexi?
I did not. And, okay. And that's one of the things that the censor has pointed out, that right. He hasn't been convicted of.
So then there's no due process. And I think that is one of Donald Trump's two main arguments. One, he hasn't been convicted of anything. So there's no due process with regard to that point.
Folks, we're getting a look here at how far the left is willing to go, how the left is willing to break the system by doing things that have no precedent, to deny the American people the ability to have a say at the polls. This is literally jaw-dropping. There's never been a conviction for insurrection of Donald Trump. Congress could have done it if they wanted to. They didn't. And yet, with no conviction, the Colorado Supreme Court said Donald Trump is guilty of insurrection. This is the guy who literally said, and I quote, "proceed peacefully and patriotically," unquote, to the Capitol. He never called for insurrection. He told them not to be violent. This is such a stretch. But what it shows is they're willing to break every institution that we've had since the founding in order to get total control. As Bonchi from Red State pointed out today on Twitter, plenty of Confederate politicians went on to hold office after the Civil War, despite the 14th Amendment. At no point was the 14th Amendment meant to be a blanket disqualification for any random accusation of insurrection. If you want that, he says, charge and convict Trump of it. Otherwise, this is ridiculous. Using the same logic, the court should have stripped Kamala Harris of her ability to ever appear on the ballot in Colorado. If we want to go tit for tat, this is a woman who literally raised money on her email account while running for vice president to bail out actual insurrectionists. Those during the Summer of Love, who we learned in recent weeks, did not $1 billion worth of damage to the country, but $2 billion. The only other level of damage done by rampaging Americans that is even remotely comparable was the Civil War. Folks, we can keep going. Biden should be banned from appearing on the Colorado ballot. Why? Because his campaign staff helped Kamala Harris in his name raise money to bail out the people who did the insurrection, the $2 billion insurrection, and encourage them to get back in the fight. They only wish they had evidence like that with Trump around January 6th. They only wish Trump had bailed people out so they could go back to battle. But you can see the same model here with this Colorado decision that they're applying to all the other cases. Take a completely wild twist of the law with almost no or no precedent of any kind and just throw it up against the wall. Put it in front of liberal judges, or in the future, many of these cases will be prosecuted before liberal juries, and see what sticks. Folks, everyone our side, including even John Bolton, who was the avowed enemy of Trump by the time he left the Trump White House, is screaming like a stuck pig. They can't believe the left is doing this. And I'm just shaking my head because this is small potatoes compared to what's coming. Because our pundits on our side don't like to talk about it, I think they're all afraid of what would happen to their ratings. People don't really realize what it's going to look like by Election Day. According to the current court schedule right now, Donald Trump will spend the days, weeks, and probably a couple of months heading into Election Day, sitting in Fannie Willis's court in Georgia, as his own former staff and attorneys, one by one by one, testify against him. Odds are pretty decent. He'll still be sitting there on Election Day, unable to leave. That's just one case. And it'll be heard before jurors who voted overwhelmingly Democrat in Fulton County. If the last 3 years, when, by the way, Joe Biden, his spokesperson, Jen Psaki, led another insurrection. Remember the one in front of the Supreme Court justices' homes? It is illegal under federal law to protest in front of their homes. You can't legally do it. Yet the Justice Department allowed it. Joe Biden himself personally encouraged it. This was law breaking. And Jen Psaki did too. Again, this led to a man making it literally to the property of Justice Kavanaugh with the intent and the items needed to kill him and his entire family. Literal physical intimidation will be applied by the left to the Supreme Court in this upcoming ruling on Colorado. By the way, there's more than a dozen other states they're trying to do this in too. Here's another problem. If Jack Smith gets a conviction before the overwhelmingly liberal DC jury, a lot of these states will be back again to get him off the ballot. It'll probably go back to the Supreme Court again, joining two other cases sitting there right now. You can bet your bottom dollar that these Democrats are going to violently and physically intimidate these justices and any juror involved in any of these cases. Kellyanne Conway was actually praying for them on Fox News this morning.
Can we all take a moment to pray for these justices? They're going to be under attack again.
Yeah.
I mean, I truly worry for their safety. These crazy people out there, these lunatical Biden voters, if there are any left, they find their way to the Supreme Court justices' homes, their kids' schools, their places of work, their places of worship. He should be talking about that. He should say there's no question, zero doubt, that the Supreme Court justices have a right to live peaceably and to remain secure.
Again, why does this keep happening? It's because the Republican leadership lets it happen. Let's do for a moment what the Democrat leadership did this morning and all the folks at the DNC. They did exactly what I did. Now, I hopped on the computer to see if there was a single word from the leader of our party, as in the highest ranking elected official that we have, Mitch McConnell. Not a word. Nope. He's fine with all of this. And that's who they take their cues from. There won't be so much as a mean tweet, much less even a press conference. Steve Scalise, nice enough guy, one of Kevin McCarthy's old henchmen, did manage a four-line tweet. Did you see the press conference by the Republican leadership to object to this? If we did this to the Democrats, you'd have already seen it. By tomorrow, their mobs would have gotten violent. There was no press conference. In fact, the only statement you can find from the supposed leader of our party, Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell, is one comparing Trump to Hitler from 20 hours ago, after Trump said that immigrants are poisoning the blood of our country. McConnell was specifically asked about the Trump comments and the comparison the mainstream media is making to supposed Nazi rhetoric before and during World War II. McConnell was happy to double down. But he has nothing to say now. And that's all they need to know. Back at DNC headquarters, where they're busy picking what they think will be Trump's replacement for us. To me, overnight, this was actually bigger news than what happened in Colorado. Democrat donors, in concert with the Open Borders Koch Foundation, and basically they are equally terrifying if you ask me. I mean, their only real moral compass is no borders for America, international government, no sovereignty, no self-determination, borderless business deals, floods of migrants. I mean, so they all think the same. Right now, you are literally watching the top of the Democrat donor class march right in and pick the replacement for Trump, because in their minds, he'll be convicted by Election Day. And these aren't any Democrat donors. These are the heaviest hitting Democrat donors. The key fundraiser for Hillary Clinton, Jamie Dimon, a self-described Democrat and CEO of JP Morgan Chase. He bundles Wall Street money. There's Larry Fink, board of directors of the World Economic Forum and head of BlackRock, the creator of ESG scores, billionaire LinkedIn founder and hardcore leftist, Democrat Reid Hoffman. He's raising money for her too. And Koch overnight, their political fund, said they're going to pump an astonishing $70 million into getting Nikki Haley in second place in New Hampshire and in Iowa. And this, we've never seen this before, folks. This is totally new. That I have never seen that amount of money spent ever before in a Republican primary, except to take out Trump, to take him out of the first place. But when they were asked by Bloomberg, well, I mean, you're not going to beat Trump. Y'all don't think? And they said, no, we're not even trying to. No, this is $70 million to put her in second place. In fact, most of the ads are targeted at DeSantis, not Trump. Put that with the more than $10 million the Democrat donors have raked in so far, and there's probably more I can't find. That's just what the ad buy looks like. That's $80 million in two states to select the replacement candidate for Trump for you. Imagine for a moment if we decided we would just, you know, pick the Democrat candidate we want. Hey, how about Fetterman? He looks good. And we started raising tens of millions of dollars for him. The Democrats would go ballistic. But again, you're met with this clear election interference with complete silence from our supposed leadership. I mean, Ron McDaniel did put out a tweet about how, you know, the whole Colorado thing was unfair. But beyond that, no. I mean, come on, Ronna. Get off your fat rear end and maybe a press conference or probably too much to ask. Here's the question, folks. $70 million. Look, these people are rich, but $70 million is hard for them to come by. $70 million will do a lot to advance your political aims. So you would want to spend it in the best way possible. What do they know that makes them spend it on Nikki Haley? Not to get her into first place, to get her into second place in those two states. What do they know about Trump? Because let me tell you what, they did their due diligence hardcore. And what this tells me is they know with absolute certainty that Trump will either be in prison by election day or at a minimum convicted on his way there. And they've already moved on to choosing the next generation of leaders for the Uniparty and the Republican Party. They've moved on to making sure the MAGA movement, the Patriot movement, the individual liberty movement that Trump led is rudderless, leaderless, and wandering through the desert. Want to pause here for just a sec to talk to you about your plans for taking off that holiday weight in January. You probably gained the holiday weight and on top of the other weight you're not too happy with. Have a plan going into January. You will enjoy yourself so much more in the coming weeks if you know you've already booked your appointment with PhD Weight Loss for January. And by June, you'll be unrecognizable. So will your health. I had such a victory the other day at the doctor's office when the nurse told me, after seeing that I'd lost the weight that I had and congratulating me, my blood pressure was perfect. She said, put that with the fact that my joints don't hurt anymore, not even on a 9-mile hike through Shenandoah Valley Park with my daughter, and I'm a new person. You could be too by this summer, but I can't make the call for you. Find them online, myphdweightloss.com. That's myphdweightloss.com. You could do it from anywhere in any of the 50 states. myphdweightloss.com. Meanwhile, all this is making something that Joe Biden said back in November of 2022 sound all the more prophetic.
We just have to demonstrate that he will not take power if he does run, making sure he, under legitimate efforts of our Constitution, does not become the next president again.
Notice Joe doesn't say anything there about just beating him at the ballot box. They played that clip for liberal law professor Jonathan Turley on Fox today. Here was his reaction.
The president's remarks really are troubling because it sends that by any means message that we'll use any means possible to keep Trump out of office. No one is worth shredding the Constitution. What is being done here is dangerous. The path that was laid out by these four justices is a path we should not go down, and we should, as a united people, Democrats and Republicans, like the Democrats that dissented on this court, say enough. This is too far.